I want to start with a short example or a short story. And this is about a guy named Paul, who was waiting for the arrival of a technician to come to fix his refrigerator. And when he saw the text on his phone from the appliance company, it said this: Jesus is on his way and is expected to arrive at 11:35. Well, you see, Paul soon discovers that the technician's name is actually Jesus, or Jesus. Okay? But it brings me to our question this morning. So when can we expect Jesus, the Son of God, to arrive? Now, we know that Jesus was a man who came 2,000 years ago, and he suffered the penalty for our sins. We know that. But he did say back then that the Father knew the precise time, the day and the hour of his return. Jesus didn't say, I know, and the Father knows. He said, the Father only knows the precise day, the precise hour of my return. It says in Matthew 24:44, it says, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So what he's saying here, or reminding us, is that we are what? To keep watch. We're to keep watch. That doesn't mean to sit on the edge of our seat and keep watch. It means that we are to be about the Father's business and knowing that he is coming. So let me ask you this morning. If we did know the moment our Savior was to come back to earth, what difference, ask yourself, what difference might it make in our day-to-day priorities? If we were to know the time and the hour, you know, how many times have we heard when we've shared the gospel with somebody and they would say, I'll confess him as my Lord and Savior when I'm on my deathbed. How many of us have heard that? Or, I'm too young for that right now. When I get older, I'll do that. I'll make that priority then. Well, we all know, we've been around the block, that we've lost too many loved ones whose lives were cut short for one reason or another. And we pray that they knew Christ. But see, a lot of us have got this thing, you know, like our cell phones. We get our cell phones out and we hear ping. And it's either somebody's wanting to talk to us, or somebody has sent us a message, or there's a storm coming. Don't some of us have that? That a little alarm that ping, there's a storm coming. Well, guess what? We're not going to get an alarm on our cell phone saying, Jesus is just around the block. We're not going to see that. So this morning, again, like I said, I want to give an example, or a few examples, that might help us to understand what it means to keep watch. Okay? So I'm going to share this story with you. There's a story of someone sitting with a group of passengers on an airport shuttle headed for a connecting flight when the bus driver on that bus is told, hold in place. Hold in place. How many of us have gotten to the airport, and this happened to me just one time? I'm thinking, okay, you're just going to go to a certain spot in this building, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to wait, and then there's a little door you go through, and you go through this little tunnel, and you get on your plane. Well, this one particular time, that did not happen. They said, you've got to go down this hallway, hang a left, and go down, way down. You've got to go way at the other end of the building. And I'm going, why are they sending me way down there? Well, the reason being is because I was going to get shuttled to the plane by a bus. And so that's what happens here. These people are loading this bus. They're getting shuttled to the plane, okay? But now it's almost time for this plane to leave. And it's running late. And they're getting a little nervous. But the bus driver hears on his, you know, intercom or whatever, hold in place. Well, it looked like they might miss the flight, all of them. And this was more than one passenger could actually handle. He exploded at the driver, at the bus driver, insisting that he ignore the order or he would risk the wrath of a lawsuit. Okay? Now this man's scared he's going to miss his flight, and he loses control, gets angry at the bus driver. Just then, of course, just then, an airline employee comes running down the sidewalk and running up the steps of the bus, looking at the one who was angry, the angry man, and the airline employee triumphantly holds up a briefcase. Holds up this briefcase. And when the airline employee finally catches his breath from running the distance to get this this briefcase, which was the reason why they told him to hold in place, okay, he runs up the steps and he's trying to catch his breath and he looks at the angry man and he says, "You left your briefcase." He's telling the man who's angry, "You left your briefcase. I heard you mention how important this trip was, this business trip was, and I certainly didn't want you to get on the plane without this briefcase." Sometimes we find ourselves being impatient with God, especially about his return. Okay? We wonder, just what, God, are you waiting for? I mean, after all, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. I mean, 2,000 years ago, and we're still waiting? Okay, now think about this. We think about all the tragedies that are going on in this world. We think about people's suffering, people's illnesses. We think about war. We think about famine, drugs. We think about human trafficking. We think about the horrible weather devastation that's going on throughout the world. We think of all these things. But then, someone tells us, you know, because we think of all these tragedies, all these circumstances, and we say, "Lord, why? Why do you tarry?" But then we look at the story of someone who just said, "I just met Jesus. I just gave my life to Christ." Had Jesus come before that, this person would be lost. Or, just like this particular story that I shared with you just now, we discover how God is working in all this mess. Just like the story of the man who gets angry on the shuttle bus because he had to wait. He had to wait. But the wait was the matter of his mislaid briefcase. The wait was in his favor. We need to stop and think, is the wait in our favor? I'm sure every one of us in this room can think of a friend or a family member or someone that does not know Christ, and you would certainly want them to know the Lord as their Savior before Jesus returns. How many of us, I can certainly raise my hand and say, I know somebody in my family. Every one of us in this room could know someone that does not know Christ. And I'm sure we've all thought of that. I'm sure we've all said, "Well, I understand. I understand that you're not coming back because, you know, there's others that, you know, haven't heard the message." So, wait is a hard thing for us to do. But God does know the situation. And he does know how and when to make it happen. Now, it could be a story about God's plan to give time to others, again, who don't know Christ Jesus. I want to read James 5 to you, James 5, 7 to 10. This is what it talks about. James encourages believers in Jesus to not abandon him while they are waiting for him, waiting for his second coming. You see, Christ's return would motivate them to stand firm in the face of suffering. Doesn't knowing Christ is coming motivate us? Doesn't it help us to keep hanging on every single day to that promise of knowing? It could be in our generation, it could be in our time that Christ returns. James uses the example of a farmer in this chapter to make his point. It says, like the farmer who waited patiently for autumn and spring rains and for the land to yield its valuable crop, James encouraged the believers to be patient under oppression until Jesus returned. And when he returned, he would right every wrong and bring shalom, which means peace. So Matthew chapter 24 tells us to what? Keep watching. Keep watching. But again, are we supposed to sit on the edge of our seats and twiddle our thumbs and wait? No. We're supposed to what? It says in chapter 25 of Matthew, it says, remain faithful. Remain faithful. In Zechariah chapter 12, that's the Old Testament. When we read the Old Testament, what we're reading are prophetic words about the coming of Christ. Okay? So listen to this. The same pierced Messiah will be seen again by his enemies. That's a prophetic word that was given before Christ ever even showed up in the picture. Now, I'm going to give you another example before I hit the statistics here. One summer, a man was invited by a good friend to go with him to Canada on a fishing trip, where a guide would take them to a special place where they were supposed to be plenty of big fish. After a long, grueling hike, finally they found themselves drifting quietly in a canoe on a beautiful, beautiful lake. Now the loons, they were screaming because they were showing their disapproval of these fishermen in their domain, that they were intruding. Of course, while they were fishing, they saw a big black bear come out of the woods and walk on the beach. And then, in that silence, they heard an owl go, hoo, hoo, hoo. Well, the guide stopped paddling, and he said, did you hear that? The owl said, drop everything and set up camp. Get ready for a storm. You see, you guys, when an owl hoots during the daytime, guess what happens? It means there's going to be rain before the next day. And sure enough, as the guide said, they set up camp, and before the next day, it rained. And I share this story because in Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3, it says, Jesus rebuked the religious leaders because they knew how to predict the weather, but they failed to recognize the obvious signs that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They chose to overlook the prophetic word time and time again that came from the Old Testament. And here's the statistics on that. The second coming of Christ is mentioned in Scripture over 18 times in the Old Testament, 300 times in the New Testament, and one verse out of every 25 mentions the Lord's return in the New Testament. Now, the Lord's return is referred to, ready for this? The Lord's return is referred to in 17 Old Testament books. And out of the 27 New Testament books, 23 of those books talk about the Messiah, talk about his return. 23 out of 27 books of the Bible talk about the return of Christ. And then the last, and for every prophecy from the first coming of Christ, there are 8 prophecies. So for every prophecy on the first coming of Christ, there are 8 prophecies on the second coming of Christ. Just as the owl hoots to tell of a storm coming, there are some 50 occasions in the Bible that tell us to get ready. But I'm going to rephrase that. We're to be ready. There's a difference between get ready and be ready. And I'll explain that in a minute. We are to be ready for the return of Christ. Jesus mentions to his disciples that he would one day return. Again, Matthew 24:44, Jesus said he would come at the time they did not expect. You see, I don't think so much these days, but maybe I think when I first came to the Lord in the 80s and maybe the 70s, it was a big thing to think, oh, he's coming, and we know approximately when he's coming. Guess what? Those people that are taking their time, wasting their time, trying to find the hour, the date, whatever, they are wasting their time. If Jesus certainly doesn't know the hour or the day, we certainly are not going to know the hour or the day. Because out of all, Jesus should be the one to know. But he does not know. Jesus never told his followers how to calculate the day of his return. He emphasized that our main priority is to make sure we're ready. Not get ready. That we are to be ready for him. And that we are to occupy in his service when he comes. In other words, just as Cheryl said, and I know when I'm right on, because usually what Cheryl will bring up in music or whatever Cheryl will share, we haven't even talked. She doesn't have a clue of what my message is. And yet, when it comes to this kind of stuff, you know when you're right on with God, because when you get where two or more people agree and they're speaking the same thing, in the same service, you know it's God. I don't know how many times when I'd go to class at Rhema, and we'd be going to the first class, and then we'd go into the second class, which the teachers didn't know what the other teachers were teaching. And yet we'd go, oh, I mean, the chills would literally go through you because what they had just talked about in the first class. And, we went into missions. My husband and I went into more missions. We weren't into pastoring so much as we were into missions. So every class was completely different. Some were teachers, some were pastors, some were missions, some were helps. There were so many different classes to go to. And yet when we left one class and we went into another class, it was like whatever they said in the first class connected to whatever was said in the second class. So you know, when that happens, the thing like with Cheryl, when she shared what she did today, it's like, man, she's not even aware of what God laid on my heart as this message. Now, the last thing or example I want to share with you is this. There was this woman whose priority was to be about the Father's business, to serve him until the coming of Christ. And she happened to be shopping in this small country store. And several people, being a small community, they were pretty aware of this woman's so-called fanatical beliefs, fanatical religion, okay? So several young people were just standing around doing nothing. And so they thought, well, they knew she was a Christian and that she was kind of a fanatic. So they wanted to ridicule her, saying, we hear you expecting Jesus any day now. She says, that's right. And they said, do you really believe he's coming? She replied, absolutely. They said, well, you better hurry up and go home and get ready. He might be on his way. Facing them, the woman looked at them and she said, I don't have to get ready. I keep ready. I keep ready. So this morning, are you getting ready for the arrival of God's Son? Once we get ready, then we need to keep ready. But again, we need to realize that we cannot lose hope. We cannot lose sight, because when we are so aware about our circumstances and situations, our family's turmoil, things that our children are going through, or health issues, whatever they might be that we are going through, financial issues, whatever those are, family or friends that are going through addiction. And we get, Lord, when are you going to come and minister to this person? When are you going to set them free from this bondage that they've put themselves into? We've got to keep our eyes focused on what God has promised. That he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And there's times when we say, Lord Jesus, just come. Just come. But do we really? I mean, our spirit wants and longs for that. But we, again, we know others that still don't know Christ. But yet, the Father knows our hearts. The Father knows the desire of our heart to have that person know them as Lord and Savior. To accept salvation. You know, as we realized this morning, after I gave you the statistics, we realized that we hear it repeatedly, over and over and over and over again, that we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, but we do know that the Messiah is going to return. We hear it over and over again. We talk about, he has said, I will return. But think about this. If all these 300 times in the New Testament we hear that Christ is returning, that's quantity, isn't it? That's a number. That's a high number. That's quantity. So if that equates to priority, you know, if God put it in there 300 times, he's got a reason, right? He's got a reason. And all he's trying to do is get our attention. And you say, but Pastor Bonnie, we all here today are all believers. We all know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We all know that Christ is returning. But let this be a time that we refire, not retire, but refire and get out there. And you say, Bonnie, I've went to this person. I've ministered to this person. Then when you've done all that you can do, you stand. But then there are times, many a times when I'm walking my dog at the lake every single day, twice a day, I'm walking that and I'm praying, Lord, and he'll bring somebody to my mind and I'll pray in the spirit or I'll say, Lord, I thank you. You promised me. You promised me that if I call upon you, you will hear me and you will hear my cry for those that are unsaved in my family. So when you've done all you know to do with that individual, that loved one, then you get in your prayer closet. That prayer closet could be a walk around the lake. That could be a walk around the park. It could be a walk around the block. It could be your actual prayer closet. But you're doing something. Like Cheryl said, what little bit it is, do it. There's a new movie called The Forge coming out. And there's also one, the War Room, I believe, was the one before that. And it talks about in these movies where they stand in the gap. They pray for that individual. And that's our job. That's part of what we're supposed to do. We're to take that time, and we're to pray. Because you certainly think that that person who doesn't know Christ are going to do it? Absolutely not. I've got a grandson that I'm praying that he hits bottom. So when he hits bottom, the only place he can look is up. And some of us have people like that in our lives. Where we know that the only way they're going to maybe come to salvation is hitting bottom. Isn't that a rough way, but that's what we call tough love. Our Heavenly Father did that with the Israelites. He sent them through the desert. But he was only trying to teach them to trust him. He was only trying to teach them, I love you. Again, all these times we've heard repeatedly, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. This is what I want to read to you. If quantity equates to priority, then life after this life is a crucial issue to God. It's crucial and a crucial issue to God. So we need to pay attention to something that should affect the way we live now. Again, if we were to know the time and the hour of his return, our priorities would certainly be different, wouldn't they? In the book of Revelation, chapter 22:20, Jesus says, "I am coming quickly." And John responds by saying, "Amen, Lord Jesus. Amen, come, Lord Jesus." So, through the power of the Spirit of God working through us, let us live each day with the perspective of eternity. That's what we have to do. We have to get our eyes off the here and now and look to eternity. Serving God and taking our advantage of every opportunity. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. Father God, we thank you for the gift of today. We know that Jesus will return, but only you know when. So Father God, help us to live each day with joy, with purpose, with a heart ready to welcome him when he does come. Fill our hearts with your love, with your grace, so that we may live the life that honors you. Father God, help us to and empower us to share your hope with the hurting, with the lost, using every single moment, every single opportunity to spread your love. And may we not be caught up and be distracted by the things of this world, but instead, help us to stay focused on what truly matters, and that is your kingdom and that is your glory. Help us, Father, to be ready, to keep ready, to be prepared to meet you with open arms. In Jesus' precious holy name, we pray. Let's stand for our closing hymn, number 498. You changed it?
Just now.
Okay.
I just remember in high school, we had a wonderful youth group led by Sharon and Glenn Rady. A lot of you might have known little Sharon. She's still a dynamo at 91. We had a book that we were studying, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey.
Yes.
And the prophecy, when I was in high school in the early 70s, I'm like, whoa, it was like a science fiction movie when I was looking through it. And about a year and a half ago, I'm going through books at home and I came across it again. And I was reading it and I'm like, wow, that's happened. Wow, that's happened. That's even happened. I was amazed at the prophecy that has been fulfilled in the 50 years that I've been out of high school, which doesn't seem that long. But anyhow, he's coming. We don't know the time or the place, but every day that passes by, we're getting closer.
Yes.
So we're
going to
sing page 523, Soon and Very Soon.
Okay.
And I hope I can play it, because I don't know if I've ever played it before. But we'll try. 523, Soon and Very Soon.